Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on this day, June 25th. And I'm your host for this evening, as is usually the case. My name is the Miracle Man. I'm so glad you could join us here tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be accessing this program. And as for the wherever you may be, who knows, maybe you're doing what I'm going to be doing in a couple of days, which, aka being on vacation somewhere. We're so glad that you could join us tonight. As believe it or not, tonight is, with it being June 25th, that means we are halfway to Christmas. Exactly halfway back to Christmas, mind you. Because of it being the 25th of the month. And every time we get to be 25th, it's like we're another month closer. Not as much earlier in the year, but once you get to like September, October, you're like, hey now, we're much closer. And obviously, once you get to November 25th, I feel like for a lot of people, if Thanksgiving is when it is this year, which is the 28th, I feel like that November 23rd is a busy shopping Saturday for sure this year, don't you think?
Oh yeah.
Do you feel like that could in some places, I didn't say beat December, but do you feel like this could rival it unlike
yeah.
the Saturday before last year?
I think it would definitely be able to compare the two.
And by then thus saith the Miracle Man. I was going to say, thus saith the Lord, but he didn't say that. This is just me. If by November 23rd, your mall is not playing Christmas music, and they're just all holding out, waiting for the day after Thanksgiving, when it's November 23rd, I don't know about you, but to me, that's like a reminder. Kind of like how December 23rd, you're 2 days away from the day itself.
Yep.
And for me, you know, and my parents live in Detroit, but I got family up north. For us, Christmas kind of starts on the 24th, not just the 25th. So to me, the 23rd is the day before. If November 23rd has come and your mall has the Christmas music off, something is not right. Because a lot of people are going to be out there starting to get their stuff, because there's not as many days this year as there has been in the past couple of years between Thanksgiving and Christmas. There are 6 less days between them, so only 25 full days after Thanksgiving to get your stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of reflecting for a minute, because we're halfway, and I'm just saying, you know that we're halfway back, But we're not going to worry about it so much because it's still summer, which does lead me to special. And I'm going to do it right now. Motorcycle horns ring, are you listening? In the lane, the snow, the sun is glistening. A beautiful sight, you're happy tonight. Walking in a summer wonderland. Happy. Gone away. Is the bluebird here to stay? Is the songbird who sings a love song as we go along, walking in a summer wonderland? At the beach we can build a. At the beach we can build a sun man, and pretend that. Okay. No, man. You can still do the job while you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the campfire to face and appraise the plans that we made. Walk in a summer wonderland. In the meadow, at the beach, we can build a sandman and pretend that he is red and brown. We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Sandman before the other kitties knock him down. Later on, when it rains, it's a chillin', don't you know, it's a chillin'. The face I'm not afraid, the plan that we made, walking in a summer wonderland, walking in a summer wonderland, walking in a summer wonderland. Mind you, there is actually, I don't know if you know this, but in Australia, there is already one called Summer Wonderland. Do you remember hearing that before?
No, but that's really awesome.
There is, and here's why. Because of being down under. Christmas is still the same time, of course, but they're summer.
Oh, man. Yeah, right?
So I figured, and I had heard it for the first time ever last year. 2 years ago, I found myself wondering, in between, it was literally like almost July 11th or something. No, it was actually July 9th. And I found myself thinking, in fact, I went as far as to post this on my Facebook. I wonder what it would be like if Christmas was in July and not in December. And I got a couple different responses and was like, good point. Conclusion? It is what it is, and both sides do have
valid points.
They both have valid points. You know, what I mean by that is, I mean, both sides have their pluses and their drawbacks. If the real Christmas was in July, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. You'll just have to throw that song out the window, or just sing it. No one, it's a dream. That we're not getting a white Christmas anymore because it's July, and everything's as green as it's going to get. So it might have to be, I'm dreaming of, I don't know, a sunny Christmas, a full moon Christmas. I don't know. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd have to change that. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. I imagine you could still put them on a bonfire, but it would still be different. And Frosty the Sunman, Frosty the Snowman. Got to replace it because Frosty's dead and melted. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, because right now, anything from, like, anything, unless it, like, at the North Pole, like, in a certain part of it, Frosty wouldn't survive right now.
Right.
So, it would, in some ways, it'd be a lot different. But for the folks at the equator, I don't think it would be too different from what it is right now. Even in Florida, I don't think it would be too different from how it is right now. The difference is that it would just be hotter and stuff. And you may remember 3-4 years ago, like about 3.5 years ago now, we had a Christmas where it was in the 50s.
Yeah.
Oh, statewide, mind you.
Crazy.
Yep, and about the morning hours, like the late night hours of the 23rd going into the 24th, we had severe weather warnings. Remember?
Yeah.
And by the way, listeners, they're not the severe weather warnings that you think of at Christmas time or in December. They were warnings you should have only seen, the closest you should have seen them would have been like very early November or late October. But not on December 23rd. Because then you think of blizzard warning, winter storm warning, cold. You'd be more apt to have a wind chill warning than to have a severe thunderstorm warning.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you? And even here, we had a wind chill advisory like 2 years ago, but that was the day after. That wasn't until the day after, though, but still close enough.
Yeah.
But before and after, I know there's a big difference, but in reality, it was like one day later and the advisory kicked in. In fact, I was notified that Christmas night that it was going into effect. Remember? That means, but that to say, not there yet. And mind you, next month is the 2-year anniversary of the show, believe it or not, because we actually started it on July 25th of 2017, which happens to be Christmas in July, the date for it. Is that the real date, or is that an unofficial date? Because I feel like Christmas, is it just me, or do you feel like Christmas in July, there's not really a set date? I don't think there is. I do think it's in late July. Because many stadiums and such, many sports teams do things to commemorate it. Like I know in this city, at the Loon Stadium, they'll have a Christmas in July night where Santa Claus will be there. I imagine it's probably a follow-up with the kids. Have you been good so far this year? Which is kind of good because then, you know, for the children, it's kind of a follow-up to make sure the kids are being good. So. Just probably get that off of my chest. Thank the Lord for a nice, icy cold Coca-Cola. Still really cold, although I have no ice in it. Because I personally don't really like ice in my soda because it waters it down, in my opinion. Some people may like that. Excuse me. I don't know why they do, but they do. And, of course, in my opinion, Coke is always the winner over Pepsi, no matter what. They don't have to play a ball game to find out. There's no need for a contest. Because in my mind, Coke already won. In my mind, they already won. No. You just check the clock real quick. I just wanted to remind you guys that next week I'll be in a different time zone most of the week. I mean half the week. I'll be there all of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Actually, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll be in Alabama and then Nashville. That being said, I don't know exactly what time I'm going to do my show. Or show. I plan to do one to two episodes. If I do two, one will be, they'll both kind of be about how we're going. But the second one, particularly if it's Wednesday, I might take a little bit to talk about America. And what it was founded upon. And then I'll sing a couple. USA songs. I just thought that you should have that in your mind. That as a result of the time zone being different, like, I don't do it right at 6:30. Don't be surprised, because where I am, where I'll be, it'll be 5:30. So, what that means is, when it's 6:30 there, it'll be 7:30 right here. So keep that in mind. I'll make sure to let you know as to what it's gonna be. As I said, it's a different time zone, but it's only a 1 hour difference. I'm doing at least one for sure, guaranteed, because I wouldn't leave you away for a whole week and then not tell you. I'm looking, really looking forward to it. looking forward to seeing my being down there. Going to good food places. See my brother in Alabama. As well as capping it off with Friday night of Dominion Camp Meeting. Well, Pastor Rob Parsley is going to bring us the Word of God that night. I'm really looking forward to that word. That's seven times greater. Anointing. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Rob, a few years ago, had a battle with throat cancer, vocal cord cancer. And they were going to do some things. They did one surgery. And I did some radiation. And at the end of it, they were shocked. And they looked and said, "Look at that beautiful vocal cord. Look at that beautiful vocal cord." And the corner that woman said that. "You're now cancer free." And God healed her. And I've heard Rob say a couple times, "God didn't give me my voice back so I could play." You know, if you lost something and you get it back, and God gives it back to you, and it's greater than what it was. Let me tell you something. God didn't give it back to you so you could mess around. God gave it back to you so you could serve him, follow him, and do what he asked you. And to just live for him and go for him and do for him what he asks of you. In Pastor Parsley's case, to preach. I will let you know tomorrow night what the website is so that you can stream it. And it starts on July 5th. That's the night that I'm going to be there, is July 5th at 7 p.m. down there in Columbus. All right. Now, I want to encourage your listeners, please tell people you know how they can be a part of this great show. Please do. It's a great encouragement to me when you do that, when you tell others how they can be a part. There's a number that you can call to be a part of this great show. Whether you're just going to listen in, or whether you want to call in and talk to me, the Miracle Man. And we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about. If you have a testimony you want to share, Is there something you believe in God to do for you? Do you have a question to ask me about sports or about the Bible or about whatever else you may want to ask me, as long as it's not political? Then feel free to call into the Miracle Man Show at area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You will want to go ahead and press 1. You will be taken to a call screener, and then my assistant will answer the phone. She'll ask you where you are and where you're from, and then she will let me know that we have a caller. And then I will approve. Okay. And then I'll introduce you. And you'll be able to get on. Speak, and we'll be able to have a conversation. And my hope is that we can have some great calls tonight. All right. Now, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for this great show. Thank you for these who would join me tonight, whoever they are, whatever they're doing. I just thank you that you bless them for tuning in tonight, and that you just give these listeners whatever it is that they're believing for, whether it be an answer from you, whether it be provision they're believing you for, whether it be a healing, whatever it is. I just thank you that they will receive something from you tonight. I call every need now in the name of Jesus. Every person who is listening tonight to represent the need. And everyone has a different need. And I thank you, Lord, that in your name, these needs should be met tonight. And I just thank you that we will be doers of the word, not hearers only. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I confess over this program. I thank you that this program is blessed and prosperous. I thank you that finances come into this program. I thank you that sponsors come into this program to help us out. I thank you that increases in listeners that come into this program. And most importantly, Lord God, I thank you for souls coming into this great program. Souls for your kingdom, a great harvest of souls. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Amen. Let's open it up to 1 Kings chapter 9. We've got 1 Kings chapter 9. And then after that, we're going to go to 1 Kings 10. I want to encourage you, whatever I do here for the next little bit, I want you to feel free to be a part of it. So if I sing, you sing. If I pray, you pray. If I study the Bible, you go ahead and follow along. If you don't have your Bible with you or your phone with the Bible app on it, then just receive the word will be about that. And by the way, did I tell you, Annie, about that thing, that there are two sounds pastors love?
No.
Okay. There are two things sounds pastors love. Pages turning.
Oh, yeah.
And checks being ripped out of checkbooks. You just laugh. That's funny. It is pretty funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pastor says that to be funny. That's funny. When he would say it, that's why he says it.
Yeah.
All right. Chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, first thing. Now when Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord, of the royal palace, and he had achieved that all had he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and plea that you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and you do all that I commanded you, and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons turn away from me, and you do not observe the commands and decrees that I have given you, and you go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land that I have given them. And I will reject the temple that I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become, if I were, and an object of ridicule among all peoples. And though this temple is now imposing, all who pass by will be appalled, and they will scoff and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, well, because they forsook the Lord, their God, who had brought their fathers out of Egypt, and they embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That's why the Lord brought all this disaster on. Verse 10. At the end of 20 years, during which Solomon built these two buildings, the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, King Solomon gave 20 towns in Galilee to Hiram, king of Tyre, because Hiram had supplied him with all of the cedar and pine and gold he wanted. But when Hiram went from Tyre to see the town that Solomon had given him, he was not pleased with them. What kind of towns are these that you have given me, my brother? He asked. and he called them the land of Kabul, a name they have to this day. Now, Aram had sent to the king 120 talents of gold. Here is the account of forced labor that King Solomon subscribed to build the Lord's temple. The palace is the port beams, the terraces, the wall of Jerusalem, and Hazor, Megiddo, and Gath-Hepa. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had captured Caesar. He had sent it on fire. He killed its Canaanite inhabitants and then gave it as a wedding gift to his daughter, Solomon's wife. And Solomon rebuilt Egypt. He built up Lower Bethhoron, Bela, and Kedor in the desert on his land, as well as all his store cities and the towns of his chariots and of his horses, whatever he desired to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and throughout all of the territories he ruled. All the people left from the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, their peoples were not Israelites, that is, their descendants remaining in the land, whom the Israelites could not exterminate. There Solomon conscripted for his slave labor force, as it is to this day. But Solomon did not make slaves of any of the Israelites. They were his fighting, his government officials, his officers, his captains, and the commanders of his chariots and charioteers. They were also the chief officials in charge of Solomon's in the page. They were in charge of Solomon's project. 550 officials supervising the men who did the work. After Pharaoh's daughter had come up from the city of David to the palace, Solomon had built for her he constructed the supporting terraces. Three times a year, Solomon sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings on the altar that he had built for the Lord, burning incense before the Lord, along with them. And so fulfilled the temple obligation. And Solomon also built ships at Ezion Geber, which is near Elath in Edom, on the shore of the Red Sea. And Hiram sent his men, sailors who knew the sea, to serve in the fleet and Solomon's men. They sailed to Ophir and brought back 620 talents of gold, which they delivered to King Solomon. chapter 10. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold, and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw all of the wisdom of Solomon and the palace that he had built, the food on his table, the feeding of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings that he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I didn't believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your men must be, how happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel. He has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices, and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in of those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. From ships brought gold from Ophir, and from there they brought great cargoes of alum wood and precious stones. The king used the olive wood to make supports for the temple of the Lord and for the royal palace, and to make harps and lyres for the musicians. So much alum wood has never been imported or seen since that day. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for besides what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned with her revenue to her own country. Verse 14. The weight of the gold Solomon received yearly was 464 talents, not including the revenue from merchants and from traders and from all of the Arabian kings and the governors of the land. King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold, 600 sekas of gold went into each shield. He also made 300 small shields of hammered gold with 3 minas of gold in each shield. The king put them in the palace of the forest of Lebanon. Then the king made a great throne inlaid with iron and overlaid with fine gold. The throne had 6 steps, and its back had a rounded top. On both sides of the seat were armrests, with a lion standing beside each of them. 12 lions stood on the 6 steps, one at either end of each step. Nothing like it had ever been done for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's goblets were gold, and all of the household articles in the palace of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Nothing was made of silver, because silver was considered of little value in Solomon's days. The king had a fleet of trading ships at 10, along with the ships of Haran. Once every 3 years, it returned carrying gold, silver, and iron. And baboons. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all of the other things of the earth. The whole world the audience of Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. Year after year, everyone who came brought a gift. Articles of silver and gold, robes, weapons, and spices, and horses, and mules. Solomon accumulated chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses, which he kept in the chariot city and also with him in Jerusalem. What do you want, a horse, Annie?
No, I do want to take care of. I don't have time.
Yeah, but let's just say time is endless.
Yeah, maybe.
But maybe not 12,000 horses.
Definitely not.
That'll just be insane.
Yeah.
12,000 horses. They probably have to have like all kinds of extra servants just to take care of the horses.
Probably.
Okay, verse 27. Jerusalem. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stone, and cedar as plentiful as sycamore, fig trees in the foothills. Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt and from Kew. the royal merchant purchased them from Greece, and they imported a chariot from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. They also exported them to all the kings of the Hittites, and with the Arameans. All right. Now, what you see here is Solomon was very wise. You know, he was very powerful. He was seen as the world leader at the time. Was more powerful than anyone had ever been to the point. And a lot of people looked up to him. And after the house was, after Solomon built the house of God, he was given an ultimatum that if you or your people start worshiping other gods, and they decide to forego worshiping me, they decide, I'm not going to worship God no more. I'm going to worship these other false gods, all the Baals, all the Asherah, all the other false gods that God would reject the house that Solomon built. He also said that later on, people who went by it, if Solomon did not follow, if Solomon and the people of Israel did not follow the laws of God, that people would be very appalled when they went by the temple. And they would say, God would say this, but we would if we won't buy it and see what happens. Like, well, what on earth happened here? A tornado? Did a tornado happen? Or was it just a when an earthquake occurred? But or was it just imploded by a demolition company? You might say now, like, or all he said what would happen to that house is that God would reject it and that it would be appalled. As to whether or not that means it would be torn down, I think it's safe to assume it would be torn down, because you forsake him to worship another god. So then it makes sense then that it would end up being torn down. Well, I only read you chapters 9 and 10. We had a preacher years ago at my church, at Living Word, like 6 years ago or so. And he was talking about Solomon and how Solomon had 60 soldiers, 60 of the best soldiers you could possibly have. They were like his, if you have 60 soldiers, that'd be like your secret service, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be like the secret service who would be around our president. By the way, I'm not being political, I'm just comparing. Okay. He had an army of 60 soldiers. And he was kind of teasing about something, and he was just imagining that Solomon could be there, sitting there in the royal bedroom, sleeping in bed. And then soldiers on night duty could be up talking to each other. And they'll be saying, oh, yeah, that dream. I forget what all it was. And at the end of it, that preacher said that he was just telling them, well, I heard that. As if thinking that Solomon wouldn't hear it when he was woken up by the noise. We're not saying that this happened. He was just imagining. But if you got 60 guys in your bedroom, and we'll say like 12 of them are on night duty, they're all saying something or whatever, something about dreams or whatever, you could just see that guy waking right up and saying, oh, I heard that, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And then it's like, but he kept going on and on and on about it. It was kind of funny. About a year ago, I discovered who it was, because I'd forgotten who it was. It was actually Bob Yandian. And I've heard a couple of his other sermons, and he's pretty funny. He'll be here the week of Fair Week on Thursday. And I really hope he's here to give us a good laugh. And he's pretty, because like I was saying, he's pretty funny. And he'll come up with something. I know he will. But then Solomon, the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon. She was just so amazed at everything she saw. And she was overwhelmed with what she saw. Not in a bad way, but she just couldn't believe like the way everything was, how she had no true idea until she saw it with her own eyes, because she had heard things from rulers from other countries, as we would say it, like through circles from a source, or through the grapevine. And by the way, when someone says through the grapevine, that's not a line of grapes. Like, that's just the way of saying it. I've heard from somewhere, or a source tells me. But when they saw, when she saw what Solomon, the way it was, she was just amazed. And she gave Solomon, you know, he gave Solomon everything. He gave her everything she asked for. Except for what he had already given her. And you have to admire his wisdom, because he had been more wise than anyone else. And the other thing out of the bench up to that son. No. I'll talk to you something about faith. You know, we always want to do right by God. We want to obey God and do what he asks us to do and just be in a good place with God. But here's something to think about. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. I didn't say unusually hard, unusually difficult. You got to give up an arm and a leg and a foot to do it. Have you ever heard that when someone said it? Someone was really expensive, super expensive, an arm and a leg and a foot. Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Well, without faith, folks, it's not just extra hot. It is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible. And you see, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive a measure of faith. The other big way faith comes is by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. After hearing the Word of God, it is our responsibility to do the Word of God. If we're just a hearer, we are in big trouble. Because God doesn't just want us to just be that little goody two-shoes who reads his book but doesn't necessarily follow his commands and do what he wants us to do. Because as I said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And because you got to hear the Word of God. You got to read the Word of God. By the way, faith does not come by reading. But you still do need to read the Word of God. Just that whole idea that faith comes by hearing and not reading. That is one reason why going to church is so important. because that's a great way to build your faith. Because you're hearing the word of God being spoken into your ear by that preacher. Now, speaking of preachers, if you want a preacher, there's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of preachers. So many of them know will water down the word of God. They're not, they don't live clean. One pastor just said, it's a great, prominent, spirit-filled Christian pastor. A pastor to many pastors, by the way. He had a certain pastor's type event. And many pastors went up to the altar, for an altar call for people who needed to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Pastors, some of which pastor like 12, 13, 14,000 people. That's why you need to pay very close attention to what pastor you're listening to. I mean, and I know on the internet there's a lot of bad stuff. But there's also a lot of good archived work out there. And don't ever fall for a preacher that does not know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. And the best preacher for you is the preacher of the church where you're called to. But you should always ask God, you know. If you don't know where God wants you, ask Him. Because it's important that you're in the right place where God wants you. Don't be somewhere where you want to be, but then it turns out God doesn't want you there. Just let that sit there for a second. Because God has directions for all of us. He has something for all of us. He does. He's got a plan. And He'll reveal it to us as we ask. Well, I don't know what God wants for me. What do you really want me to do? Well, did you ask Him? Well, the Bible says if you have, you have not because you ask not. By the way, I didn't put that there. It's in the Bible. You have not because you did not ask the Lord. That's why with faith, God wants to hear you asking for what you're believing for. God wants to hear you calling forth those things that you're believing Him for. Oh, can you grab me that cup? Bubba. In silent belief, I won't do it. Even though he does know what you want from him before you ask. He wants to hear you speak with your mouth. Faith without works is dead. Yes. Also, what if you're doing all that stuff, maybe? Maybe you're living right. Maybe you're not holding grudges. Maybe you're not working any hedges. And you need a miracle in your life. But you're not, what if you're not telling God that you have need?
It doesn't work.
By the way, that it. I'm sorry, folks, that it doesn't work. That wasn't talking about me. That was something else. But yes, faith does work. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall be done. But as I was saying a minute ago, you know, he wants to hear you ask. Ask and you will receive. Then you shall find. Knock and the door will be open.
I always say,
knock. Ask. Seek. Knock. Receive. Find. Open door. That's how it works. Or he wants to hear you. Asking him for that miracle. You know, when you're giving it, when you're tithing at the local church, which you need to be, if you've given him the offering, and you believe in God for something, you need to put an it to it. Whatever you believe in God to do. Maybe it's for your prodigal to come. Maybe it's for that prodigal son to come home. Maybe it's for that healing in your body. That healing in your mother's body. Your dad's body. Maybe it's for finding. Maybe it could be a lot of different things. But it's really good. I would say it's important to attach an it to it if you really believe in God for something. And that's even if that it is something you would like to do long term. Maybe a new house you want to build in a year or two. And you give that to God. And you just sow towards it. You sow towards what you believe in for. And you put an it. And I'm believing God in the name of Jesus that I will, you know. Put an it to it. Don't just do it, well, the Word of God says, you know, I need to give. Press down, taking together, running over. Well, what's your it? it is what you're believing God to do. And that it could be a lot of different things. Oh, yeah. So it's just important that you remember that. And when you put an it to that offering, when you've given in the offering, and then you're putting in the offering, you're giving in the offering, like you're putting works to your faith. You're sowing. You're sowing into the kingdom, believing God for whatever you're believing Him for. Amen. And that sowing represents, you know, I'm giving something up. You sow a seed to you, God. And it's not about tax write-off. It's for you, God. And I'm believing for, and then whatever you're believing in for. In the name of Jesus, I will receive what I'm believing for. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that we would just remember this. Put this word. Just help us not forget this word. And not only what we read about Solomon, but about the exhortation on faith, Lord God. Thank you, God. These people will remember these things. And that when we go, we'll always do it with an it in mind. What we're believing you for. Not something we want necessarily. Just for us, but something that we are truly believing you for. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now for sports. The Tigers, tonight, I'm starting a series against the Texas Rangers in Detroit. They have lost four straight. And so, like I said, they're playing Texas tonight. They're at Comerica. I think right up to July 1st. And then they're going out of town for a few days. But that's what they, meaning the Tigers, are up to. Now, Michigan baseball, do you hear about this? If they won tonight, they're national champions.
No, I did not know that.
One win away.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm highlighting this because, you know, it is baseball, it is Michigan. It doesn't have the same folklore and appeal as the basketball and football programs do, but still something. It's still hardware, still a trophy, still something for U of M to be proud of if they get, when they get that trophy tonight. And they're playing in Lincoln Omaha, Nebraska tonight. It was a best of three series. They won tonight. It's over, and they're the champion. Mind you, a month ago, they were one strike away from their season being over. One strike. One strike. But they've rallied ever since. Obviously, they have lost a couple of games around the way, but not series. And they just keep charging on. And they win tonight. They're the champion. In my opinion, they will win. And I'll be able to talk tomorrow about Michigan winning. Speaking of Michigan athletics, much of the team, you realize that like four of the five starters from last year aren't coming back, right?
Yeah.
Three of them went to the NBA. What happened to the other guy? It was a senior, so his eligibility was up.
Yeah.
What happened to that fifth one? He'll still be there, right?
I think so. As far as I know.
Wasn't he one of the ones that was hurt much of the year? I feel like he was hurt for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So if he's hurt again, it might be a completely different lineup from last year, which could make it very, very, very hard to tell what the team is going to look like.
Yeah.
And mind you, John Beilein is no longer there because he went to another coaching position in another state, down in the same state where some other places are. I'm not going to name what they are because that could give it away too much. I'll just say off yonder. Because I remember asking my brother once something, and then my brother said, well, she's off yonder. I think it was about mom or whatever. That's pretty funny, isn't it? So in other words, John Beilein is going to be coaching off yonder. And so we have a new coach. So it's going to be a different landscape. Football, I am excited about the future of Michigan football. Now that we have a coordinator from Alabama, too, to help us out a bit. Now that defense is going to be, have a lot of different faces on it. I expect to see improvement on the offense. So, I think it'll be a good year. Mind you, Michigan's first game is on August 31st. Just a heads up, I'm not rushing the summer away. The summer can take its time going by. It can take its precious little time going by, and I'd be happy with it. Well, it's been 2 months. In August, I could just remember, it's been 2 months, but it's felt more like four. Good. And you would agree too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I wish it was at least 6 months.
That'd be a lot. But it felt like six. Good.
Yep.
Because. And then I'll be like, we'll hope that from September to May, which is 9 months, we'll hope it only feels like 4 months. But that'd be so great.
Yep.
That'd be, except for there's 1 month when it can go by slow. One and one only. December. That's it.
Yep.
After the 25th?
Skip right to May.
Skip right to May. Yeah. And all that time of being off hold and all that, and it going by so slow. If it was just December going by so slow like that, that'd be all good.
Yep.
but it's all the other ones. Because we all know December goes by the fastest out of all of them, doesn't it?
Yep.
Like 2 years ago, it seemed like December went by nice and slow, but not this past one.
Went by too quick.
But I feel like, don't you feel like the last couple of weeks in school got out? Don't you feel like the last couple of weeks have been going by a little bit slower, don't you?
Yeah, I actually do.
Which is really good to see, and it's good to see that we're now just barely under 3/4 of the way still left to go. For Midland, it's still a full 3/4, which. And then, hey, you know, when I get back, there's the deal of a realization of, guess what? There's still 7 to 8 weeks of summer left, thank God. Although, way down in the south, they're just about halfway finished right now. That's part of why I kind of don't like August as much, you know?
Yeah.
Anything that goes on change.org about Save Tennessee summers, Save Alabama summers, Save Kentucky summers, Indiana summers, anything like that that goes on, I'm signing.
Yep.
But I heard about things that were happening when I was a student, but I had no idea how early some of these places were starting until like 6-7 years ago. At least there's still several now in NYC, like today would be like today or tomorrow is like the last day, but like tomorrow we're just getting into, like, for 3-4 weeks is like that sacred period. And I feel like that's the best part of summer, is like that sacred period. Because at least for right now, it's still out. And I feel like even to the 80s, I feel like there were some places in New York and stuff that always went to late June, right?
I think so.
But like 50 years ago, wasn't up to Midland Fair Week still pretty much sacred?
Yeah.
But then pretty much no one started going back until the week after.
Right.
So early August was actually more sacred than the last few days of June, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which hopefully it can go back to that. And by the way, the weather is warming up just on time. Folks, until next time, until tomorrow night, God first. No, actually, until tomorrow night, go blue. Come on. Yes, Michigan's going to win that trophy. And most important, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all tomorrow night.